have this kind of effect on anything electronic?
Yeah.
It's true. And I used to do a lot of crusades all over the world, and a common thing was, but it was common when I used to travel a lot, one of the things that would almost always invariably happen, one of these things anyway, not all the time, but it was a common, there'd be power outages. You know, I'd go places, still happens. Oh, and snow, yes, absolutely snow. But fire alarms would go off. I mean, it was just been bizarre. I'd go to hotels and all the alarms would go off, it got to be kind of a bit of a trademark. So I don't know what all that's about, but I guess God does, and that's all that matters. And well, I do know what it's all about, because the devil's mad and I'm glad. And you're talking about God moving. You mentioned China. We had the opportunity. It was like Deep Throat. My wife and I used to go into China, and we'd meet secretly with one of the top leaders in China. And we'd meet in different places, and in warehouses. And, you know, I pray with him 3 times to get saved, just to make sure. Yeah. And I don't know if he's still there now. We've lost track because things got kind of dodgy there for a while. And so we'd kept in touch for a long time, and his wife. And we had discussed in the 90s the future of China. Can you believe that? There was a battle going on at the time between the militants and himself. And we talked and we said, look, that China, he said, China needs to become a nation that's run economically. Isn't that interesting that we're kind of going the same way to some degree? Business was important. And he said it's important to have religious freedom and human rights. And there were 5 basic things that we discussed. Isn't how bizarre is this? I mean, we're affecting, you know, 1.5 billion people. And who are we? Just, you know, well, God's people. That's who we are. And then the amazing thing that happened is for the next 20 years, the very things that we discussed are the very things that happened in China. To the point that they were even making available government buildings in Beijing for the use of the underground church. Now things have begun to change. Not all areas were, you know, there's still resistance. I don't know what's happening now. There was certainly a season. Tehran is having a huge move of God, and I couldn't figure out why they hadn't, you know, taken Iran out by now. But it turns out there's a huge move of God taking place in Tehran, underground. The Christianity is one of the biggest things, but also Jews are getting saved. For the first time, recently, there's a tremendous move of God with Jewish people turning to the Lord and getting saved. And so we really are living in the last days. I had felt that the Jubilee year was started in the year 250 and ended in 216, but I just knew something was going on, but it just never, it wasn't. And really the Jubilee year is the year we're living in now, and it ends apparently in September and Rosh Hashanah. You probably know more about this than I do. And so I thought that I would just share this with you. Is Jesus coming back? And is he coming back soon? And the answer is absolutely. And someone said, well, why now? Why now? Well, remember that Israel is God's prophetic time clock. The signs of his coming are all around us. And we know Israel was reborn in 1948 after almost 2,000 years of wandering. In Ezekiel 36:24, it says, for I will take you from among the heathen Gentiles, and I will gather you out of all those countries and bring you back into your land. How interesting. Something else that I found quite interesting is the word British. British. The word British actually means, it comes from the words Brit-ish. Ish meaning people, Brit meaning covenant. And so the word British means covenant people or people of the covenant. And I thought, I got a bit of a chill when I heard that, because I immediately remembered my grandmother during the war, prior to World War II. She changed our family name from IS to IES, Davis, D-A-V-I-S to D-A-V-I-S. You think, well, what's the big deal with that? And there had been some Davies in our family background, but IS is the Jewish spelling of Davis. And IES, D-A-V-I-S, is the Welsh spelling of Davis. And I remember speaking at a church we were pastoring, and this older lady was coming, and she came up to me and she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, "Oh, thank you, Rabbi." And I said, "I'm not a rabbi." She said, "Oh, you're my rabbi." And something happened when she said that. Now, I don't know, but there's something to this. I don't fully understand it, but I do know this, that if you look at the American seal, the seal of America, you will see an olive branch with 13 olives representing the 13 colonies. But the olive branch represents Israel or the Jewish people. And when the British came over on the Mayflower, they believed they were the covenant people, that they were Jews. And I think it's rather interesting to note, and you probably already know this, of course, so forgive me, but I'm just going to mention it anyway. Christopher Columbus was a Jew, and was financed by some Jewish men to the tune, I think it was of today's standard, of about $13.5 million or more, to find a safe haven for Jewish people. And America was really established to be a safe haven for the Jews. And certainly has that. I mean, you have still, I think, over 5 million Jews living here. Although many now are starting to go back to Israel. And then, of course, you have the War of Independence, when America decided to be free from Britain, from the English rule. And there was a man, Hiram Solomon, that, you know, Valley Forge, they were the George Washington, his men, they were out of money, out of ammunition, out of everything. But Hiram Solomon had traveled all over Europe, and Jewish people gave enormous amounts of money freely, without interest, just gave it, to help in the American cause, because they believed America was going to be a safe haven. And he gave that money to George Washington, and the war was saved. The war was won because of Jewish money that was given to George Washington from this Jewish man. I think it's very interesting that when the Christians came, America was also a safe haven for Christians, and this nation was established under the precepts of the Word of God, under the precepts of the Torah, under the precepts of God's instruction. I won't be surprised, actually, if I don't have Jewish blood. Actually, when I was growing up, I was very good with money, and I, at a very young age, took all the money was given to me and, you know, kept track of it and made loans at interest. Anyway, not to deviate. Okay, moving right along. So, so in May 1948, Israel was recognized as a nation again, which was probably one of the greatest prophetic fulfillments of our lives. And every Bible prophet had said that would happen. And it did happen. And secondly, when Jerusalem was rejoined with Israel, and the Bible tells us in Luke 21:24, "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Well, the times of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles. And of course, they were liberated by the war in 1967. And Israel, of course, we said, is God's prophetic clock. And of course, we understand that a Jubilee year happens every 50th year. We understand that 1967 was a Jubilee year. And so if you add 50 to 67, you come up with 2017. Well, that's the year we're in now. Israel's 100th birthday, and it was there was a man called, Judah. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he lived in the 1200s. And he wrote a book in 1217. Judah. Ben-Hur, could be. No, I thought it wasn't Ben-Hur. It was, anyway, some guy called Judah, something or other, which is really unimportant because, you know, Judah's good enough at this point in time. But he wrote this book, and he was a rabbi. He lived in Germany, and he had incredible wisdom, and people would come to him, heads of state would come to him to get his advice. And they asked him once, they said, "Where do you get your wisdom?" And he said, "I pray, and God gives it to me." In fact, I think he mentioned Elijah gave it to him. But he wrote this book of this vision, this prophecy he had. And in this book, he said that the Ottoman Turks, and this book was published in 1217, the year he died. And he said the Ottoman Turks would trample the promised land, Jerusalem, underfoot for 8 jubilees. Samuel Judah, or whatever his name was. You're quite right. Thank you, Christine. I forgot to acknowledge you again tonight, but thank you for helping out. But, see, what would I do without you? It's true. I really need my wife. Oh, it wasn't my wife? That was Keith. That was Keith's brother. Well, anyway, it's close enough. It went from him to her, you know. My wife became the spokesman. Well, in 1217, there were no Ottoman Turks. But in 1517, there were. And in 1517, the Ottoman Turks conquered the Promised Land and took control of Jerusalem. And, of course, for 400 years, you add 400 to 1517, you come up with what? 1917. And in 1917, General Allenby... and of course, his name in Arabic means messenger of Muhammad. The British conquered the Promised Land, and he went to Jerusalem on a white white horse, and they had some planes drop leaflets and told him to surrender, kind of a thing, and signed General Allenby, and they thought it was a message from Muhammad, and so they surrendered. And the Promised Land and Jerusalem came under the rule of the British. That was during World War II. Now, during World War II, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Allies were running out of gunpowder. And if they ran out of gunpowder, they would lose the war against the Prussians. But there was a Jewish man who invented synthetic gunpowder. And so that synthetic gunpowder turned things around, and the Allies won as a result. And so Lord Balfour came to this man, and he said, "What would you like to have? We will give anything you want. We will give it to you. We're indebted to you." Oh my goodness! Excuse me. It's my son, as usual. Okay, shut him off. great timing, Matthew. Anyway, I thought, whose blooming phone is that? You know, I'm looking around. I saw this poor guy, you know, I thought, turn that off. But I felt this vibration on my side. I thought, dang, I just blamed him and it was me. Okay. How embarrassing. And so Balfour went to this man. He said, "What would you like?" He said, "I want a homeland for my people." So under the Balfour Declaration, they gave this man this area of was the Promised Land with Jerusalem. And then later on, all this nonsense went on, and 85% of that land was given to the Arabs and to Jordan, really to be a state for the Palestinian people, there was never any Palestinian people before, by the way. These were people who came from Syria and different places. They were really... named after the Philistines, but they were not really a people. Historically, you know, they have no history, real long, deep history. And so Jordan was supposed to be a place for the Palestinians. And so they lost most of the land that was given to them. And the land they now have was given to it in 1917. November 2nd, if my memory serves me right, 1917 was the Balfour declaration that they were going to give Israel land. So this is the 100th anniversary, which is amazing. And it's the 70th Jubilee. So I have no doubt that we're going to see some things happen this year, I am sure. And certainly, it started off as a very exciting year. And it could be the year that we meet the Lord. No, it may not be, but it could be. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? What do you mean you think so? I'll have to slap you alongside the head here in a minute if you aren't careful. It could be. And we need to be ready. So, anyway, getting back, all of this in what I'm sharing with you is connected, believe it or not. It's all connected together to what I want to say. So let me conclude my text that I began last night. And so I'm going to read from Revelations chapter 22. Beginning with pretty much where we left off, begin with verse 14. Blessed are those who are washing their robes, so that he will give them permission to use the tree of life and they could enter the gates of the city. Anybody been washing their robes the last few days? Amen. And outside will be the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone loving and doing falsehood. Yeshua, or I'm using the Jewish Bible, Jesus, did send my messenger to testify these things to you for the congregations. I am the root and the offering of David. Is this mic working? Okay. I can't hear myself. I am the root and the offering of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride are saying, the Spirit and the bride are saying what? You must come. And the one who hears must now say, you must come. And the one who thirsts must come faithfully. The one who wants must now take the water of life as a free gift. Truth. The Torah. God's instruction. The one who testifies these things says, indeed, I am coming quickly. Amen. You must come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The one who testifies these things says, indeed, I am coming quickly. Amen. You must come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. I must say I've read that multitudes of times. But I had an unusual experience. Christy, was that the end of last year or the beginning of January? Do you remember when the smoke detector thing started beeping? Very beginning of the year. So my wife and I, you know, went to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. We hear this beep. And I thought, oh, great, you know. You know what happens with smoke detectors when the battery gets low, they go beep. Well, I had just taken out a new security system, and it came with a smoke detector, that if there's a fire and smoke, it will notify. They notify the fire station, the fire department. Yeah, we've got a blending of English now and American. And so. I thought, oh, well, maybe it'll go away. And, of course, you know, beep, just starting to go back to beep. So I said, okay, I'm getting up. So I got up and I looked up. I've got two of them, the old one and the new one. So I went and got a ladder, and I thought, oh, gosh, beep, you know. So I went up, and I disconnected it from the mains. I went to bed, beep. So I looked at it, had a battery, so I ripped out the battery. I said, oh, dang, you know, I'm going back to sleep. So I just fell back asleep, beep. I thought, what the heck is this? Well, it's just true, isn't it, Mama? It's true. So I went out, and I thought, oh, you've got to be joking. It's about 1:30 now. And so I went out, and I got a ladder, and I went up and took the other one down. Took the battery out. Went back to bed. Beep. So I thought, this is insane. I just waited. So I said, just quit. Beep. So I got up again. I went downstairs. And I took the one downstairs down. Took the battery out. While I'm taking out, there's a beep from upstairs again. So I put the battery back in, stuck it back up. Now I'm wide awake. It's now, what, 2:30, Christy? 2:30 in the morning? I'm wide awake. I've been up and down the stairs carrying blooming ladders with me. The wretched smoke detector, this is true, is beeping with no batteries. I thought, what is all this? And all I heard the Lord says, you need to pray. Well, he got my attention and he woke me up. So I started praying. This is the honest truth. As soon as I went downstairs and started spending time in prayer, the beeping stopped. And I've even put the batteries back in since. Put those two smoke detectors back, no problem. So there was something going on that I reckon the Lord wanted me to pray. And what I'm going to share with you from this very unusual experience, as I began to pray, God got a hold of my life. And now this is kind of funny. So, you know, these are smartphones. I mean, my phone rings people when I'm not even touching it. It rang somebody the other day, and I heard, hello, hello. And I thought, what? Well, maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know, you know. And, you know, it has Bluetooth on it. So we have a group of people meet at our house on a Sunday, well, now a Friday. It used to be a Sunday night. We've just changed it to a Friday. And so I have this little amp. And I didn't know it had Bluetooth on it. I didn't know anything about that. And so sometimes I'll put it on and listen to, you know, Christian music when I'm praying. But my phone started playing this song. And all of a sudden, it started coming out of the little amp. And I thought, what in the world is this? Now, I don't know if this is a Christian song or if it's a world. I have no idea. But it's 2:00 in the morning, and this music came on. This music came on. Music came on. It took a while, didn't it? It took a while, didn't it? Now, I started dancing. And so it's, you know, it's really, I mean, I like the music, to be honest with you. Now, I have no idea. Has anybody heard this before? No. Maybe we should keep playing it. I don't know. But the song is powerful. I mean, powerful in the fact that God began to speak to me about this song. Now, my son, I really believe he has a hand, I believe God's got his hand on him. But, and he knows that God's calling him, but he's a bit like Jonah. He's running as fast as he can, right? And the Lord put it in my heart to really begin to really pray for him. My wife prays for him, and how many people know that the prayers of a praying mother are powerful? You ladies need to know when you pray for your kids, God hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. And God will move and will answer. It's an amazing thing. These words of this song go like this. It's called Chase You Down. Now, I tracked it down on the Google, which is amazing, isn't it? I found the song. And the words are, don't let it slip away. I won't let you get away. Can you hear me right now? I got your number. Now, understand that this is in the context of the Lord speaking to me concerning his son, concerning my son. The name Matthew means gift from God. And he's God's gift to me, and he's God's gift to my wife. And I said, devil, you're not going to have dominion on him. Now, he's a welder. He works nights. He builds ocean-going barges. They just launched one today. I think it was today or yesterday. I can't remember which day, when it was. And he's very, very good at his job. But he's with all these young guys who are about as worldly as you can get. And so all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon me and said, I want you to start praying. So I play this song all the time now. And I said, Lord, don't let him slip away. Don't let him get away. Let him hear you right now. Lord, I know you got his number. God, call him out in Jesus' name. With liquid courage, it goes on to say, you can leave your doubt. Oh, I said, Lord, take away his doubts. Take away his fears. Fill him with courage to make a stand for you. Then it goes on, you're not alone. I said, Lord, let him know he's not alone, that he's with you. So he said, I'm chasing you down. I'm chasing you down. Let me go ahead and play that quietly in the background since no one's heard it before, because it kind of gives you that, you know. So he says, can you see me right now? I'm coming closer. And I began to see this in a very spiritual way. Think I figured you out. Not like the others. You don't play with the crowd. I've blown your cover. Now I'm taking you down, taking you down. Can you hear me right now? I've got your number. And I'm calling you out. You won't get away. I won't let you slip away. Can you see me right now? I'm coming closer. Think I figured you out. You're not alone, so I'm chasing you down. I'm chasing you down. So man, I got a hold of that song and I began to pray fervently for my son. I said, God, chase him down. Don't let him get away. Oh, I said, Lord, I said, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. You got your hand on this boy. Amen. That he didn't even know what's going to, but he can't get away. And I remember when I got saved, like I shared this morning, God got a hold of me. There was nowhere to go because it was here. You can't get away from God. He's always there. And I said, Lord, bring him into all that you have for him. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for him like this. And he said, there's going to come a time I'm going to tell you to pray for a second person the same way. And then there'll be a third. And he said, don't worry about anything else right now. You just concentrate on number one, then number two, and then number three. Now I'm up to number two. Oh, there's tons of other people I could pray this way for, but the Lord said, you listen to me. So I pray. I play and I pray for him, and I pray for him, and I pray for him. Now you can stop it now if you'd like. But you see, it gets a hold of you, you know. So all of a sudden, while I'm downstairs, and I may have got some of these things mixed up, but I don't think so. These words came screaming at me. Indeed, I am coming quickly. Amen. You must come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, I had something happen to me. It's never happened to me before. The Lord spoke to my heart by His Spirit, and He said, Chris, I want you to start praying for my coming. Now, I've never heard such a thing. Have you? I want you to start to pray for my coming. He said, yes. And it seemed rather foreign to me, as it perhaps does to you. But I started to pray. I said, Lord, come quickly. Lord, we're asking that you're going to return, that you will come, that you'll have your way. And then, because of that, something was released inside of me. And I started praying for the church. For God's presence. I said, Lord, prepare your bride now. The time is close. Get her ready. Bring her into the Word. Help her to let go of the world. Lord, come quickly. Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, put your hand upon those people. Keep them safe. Lord, deliver them from their enemies. And then I started praying for my son. And now there's one other person in particular I've started to pray for along with him. I think the Lord is coming back soon. And all of a sudden, as I began to pray this, I realized that the Lord's return is very close at hand. And that when we begin to pray that way, and don't forget, one of the farewells or greetings in the New Testament was Maranatha, I am coming soon. I think that's going to be reinitiated now because I think the Lord is coming soon. We need to be mindful that the Lord is coming soon. So what does that mean? It means all of a sudden, boing, you know, holy cow, the Lord's coming back. So what does that mean? You begin to pray fervently for loved ones. You begin to pray fervently for the backslidden. You begin to pray fervently because you know the Lord's coming back soon. And if He doesn't, we're going to be meeting Him soon the way we're going. Look how quickly, 2017, you must be joking. It's February already. I'm still in 2012. Time's going by very, very quick. And so I encourage you, I urge you to start praying for the Lord's return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, because it will reignite a fire within you. All of a sudden, when you meet people, it'll take on a whole new understanding and comprehension. Those who are backslidden, it takes on a whole new comprehension and understanding. The second person the Lord began to bring to my mind was a young man who was involved in ministry, was involved in leading praise and worship, and who really betrayed his ministry and led a revolt by the things that he did and the things that he said, and it hurt a lot of people, especially my wife and I, and some of the things that happened. And I said, Lord, why is all this nonsense going on in the church all the time? You know, you have to worry about the devil sometimes. You've got to worry about the brethren. They'll skin you blooming alive. You know, you give your life for folks and you bless them and help them and sacrifice them. One wrong move, boom, that's it. They're going to take you down. So I was praying about this and I was thinking about ministry and the things that happen if you live for God and what takes place. But when this happened and I started having this understanding to pray for the Lord's return, this young man came to my mind. Now, in 40-some years of ministry, 44 years, 45 years of ministry, I have never been spoken to the way he spoke to me. I have never experienced anybody act and do the things that this person did. It was shocking that a young millennial would act that way, but perhaps not because millennials are pretty self-centered. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, you know, Chris, I'm going to take care of this. He said, when anybody touches my anointed, I am going to fight for them. I'm going to deal with this boy. He said, but what do you want to do? You want him to go to hell? I said, well, I don't know. Let me think about that. Well, obviously, no. He said, then what do you want? I said, you know what I really want? I believe that this young boy, like my son, can be useful in the kingdom of God. I believe that he has potential. I believe that, like young people do, they make mistakes, or there's influences upon his life, or things that have happened to him that have caused him to act in such a disgusting way. And then the Lord began to speak to me and said, I began to see this guy in my mind. As I saw him in my mind, I saw Jesus on the cross. And the Lord said, think about this. What happened to the Son of God on the cross? He was falsely accused. He was betrayed. Nails were driven into his hands and his feet. He was mocked, cursed, laughed at, suffered, hurt. He experienced a lot of pain. And the fact of the matter is that probably some of us, in reality, have put some nails in his hands as well, in his feet. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he began to say, Chris, how did I handle that hurt? How did I handle that betrayal? How did I handle those accusations and that slander? And I thought about it, and I remembered that before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, I think if it was me, you'd be seeing lightning bolts coming down and people disappearing with a flash. But thank God that we're not God. And so the Lord said, I want you to begin to pray in a redemptive way that this man will be restored, that he will rise up and learn from his experience. And so now, I'm chasing you down. I'm praying for this young man and my son. I don't know who's going to be number three. But I began to realize as I began to pray into this that Jesus really is coming back soon. And then I began to realize that anybody who crosses my path is going to be impacted with the kingdom of God. Now, I end up preaching in Costco sometimes. This is an ongoing thing. I have the guy at the door, when you go in to check your ID, he usually reaches out and hugs me. Is that right, Christy? My wife does half the shopping. We're still talking and worshiping and praising God, and all these people are coming in. No one cares, And I say, oh, thanks for praying for me, God, the Lord moved in this way and that way. We have a great time. And then, there's a guy I led to the Lord, and one time I was there and I was sharing. And all of a sudden, a crowd starts forming. One side of me was a Muslim, and the other side is this person who's involved with a cult. Yes. And all of a sudden, these people are coming, and I'm sharing with this guy. So I just raised my voice a little bit. I thought, man, they're going to throw me out of here. But, God was good. And this one guy in the Verizon, in the little phone booth there, got saved. We have quite a time. Now the guys I pray for have gotten healed. And so I go to Costco. My wife goes to Costco. She does the shopping. And I'm just sharing with people. I mean, I'm lucky to get out of there. And I'm walking around. And sometimes the Lord will show me somebody and it give me a word to go and speak to them. So I just kind of turn and just share with them. I have great times at Costco. And it's kind of, I have this, I'm a missionary to Costco now. I was a missionary to China, now I'm a missionary to Costco. But I've also become a missionary to IHOP. We were having breakfast a little while back, and the Lord spoke to me about a family sitting on this other table a little ways from us. And I said, Christian, the Lord's speaking to me about that family. He says, don't you just eat your meal. I said, but I can't. Just eat, you can embarrass me. But I got up and went and shared with them. And what happens, I share with them, tears started coming to the guy's eyes. God began to minister to him and his family. What I'm saying is, time is short. When this guy rose up against me and slandered me, like many people will do if you're a believer. I realized that destiny, they were touching destiny. Because anybody who touches me one way or the other, I'm going to impact them with the gospel. And for many, I pray with them and they've gotten saved. And other people have hated my guts, and if they could shoot me, they'd have shot me. But for those who've taken a few shots, I'm going to pray for them even more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, as the enemy tries to turn folks and create, what does evil do? Create disorder, create chaos, create upheaval, create division, create divisiveness, robs you of your joy, robs you of your hope, robs you of destiny, tries to just destroy you. Now that ain't going to happen. Because I said, you touch me, and I'm going to pray for you. Go ahead, take a blow. Because the more you assault me, the more I'm going to pray for you. Until you get saved and repent. You hear what I'm saying? Does that make, can you understand what it is? Why? Because the Lord is coming back soon. Anybody that I touch is going to be impacted with the kingdom of God, and hopefully they will with you as well. I want you to start praying. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come back now. Come back soon. Lord, we're waiting for you to return. We're looking forward to your return. I can't impart to you, because this is something I'm still understanding. Everything that happened. But there's something far more to all this than even I've even entered into yet. But this really is the time just before the Lord's return. Think about some people that you've met that have hurt you, slandered you. Brethren, think about that, who they are. Write their names down, and then you begin to lay hold of God. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to bring humility to their lives. Ask God to turn them around. Ask, say, Lord, they still have potential. Lord, you can use them. The kingdom of God can be furthered, Lord, through them. Lord, use these people. Lord, we're not giving up on them. Chase them down. Have your way. You know who they are. You've got their number. Help them. We don't know what's happened to them. We don't know what they've experienced. Pray for my son. So Lord, get a hold of this kid. Deliver him. Set him free from anything that would hold him back from serving you. Free him from his fears. Raise him up to be the person you've intended him to be. Raise him up into the destiny that you have for him. Because the enemy is fighting like crazy right now to hinder and to stop God's destiny in people, in your son. But he's not going to win. He is not going to win. You know why he's not going to win? Because praying mothers, their prayers are powerful. Because when the saints begin to lay hold of God in a righteous manner, God hears. See, the Bible tells us what? As the master is, so is the slave. As the teacher is, so is the pupil. If Jesus had wounds in his hands, hands represent what? Ministry? If he had holes in his feet from nails being driven through them, through his ankles, painful experience, and the feet represent our walk with God. If our ministry and our walk with God are going to be come under fire by the enemy, utilizing other people because of evil, then we need to overcome that evil. And we understand, again, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the principalities of darkness. It is against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's against all those demonic spirits. It's against those things. That's the thing that we're fighting. And the church has to come into this realization quickly and quit fighting against one another. We're seeing a display in these elections, and this president, and Trump taking office, of absolute pathetic temper tantrums. Well, if I don't get my way, you're not going to get all your administration. All right, Bubba? We're going to start praying for you, Mr. Schumer. You need to get saved. He's Jewish. He needs to get saved. Nancy Pelosi, she needs to get saved. Evil, see, you prayed a great prayer earlier, Keith. But let me tell you what the problem is. Evil has to be bound. Evil was released through our former president in this land. How do I know? Because all the traits are there. Upheaval. The fruits were there. Disorder. Chaos. Rebellion. Division. Divisiveness. That which undermines what's good. Immorality. What a load of nonsense. I'm a military guy. I come from a line of military folks. My uncle was a general in the British Army. He was received an award from the Queen, an MBE, OBE or MBE from the Queen. My father was in the RAF. I was in the USAF. You know, I'm glad for that. I'm glad my grandfather was in the British Army and fought in World War I at the Battle of Somme in the trenches. He saved his friend, his comrade's life when they dropped mustard gas on them. And he ran to his friend and put his gas mask on while inhaling some himself that he suffered for the rest of his life. But every breath he took, he told me, every breath he took when his lungs were falling apart, he still remembered his friend, that his life was saved. He said, I'll do it again. And when a president decides that the military guys, the officers are going to wear high heels and pantyhose so they know what it's like to be a woman, there's something terribly wrong. It's evil. Now I don't know, maybe you don't like what I'm saying. I really don't care. I honestly don't care anymore. I'm older now. I forgot what your first name, Ricardo. Isn't that right, Ricardo? We found out about the same age, a few of the other guys here. Hey, we don't care. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for righteousness. God is going to move in this place. Yeah. Wherever we are, God is going to move. Anybody who touches our life or impacts us, the gospel is going to come their way one way or the other. Either through our lips, and if they won't receive that through the testimony we live, or we're going to pray them into the kingdom, or pray for them in such a way that they will totally reject it and have to leave. Because we are the end time church, and God is raising up his people. And the key today in this age we're living into is saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. I have never prayed that way or even thought about it until now. There's something else that happened around this period of time. When a nation, America has ambassadors, and these ambassadors are placed in different nations to represent the United States, or if it's another country, their country. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Who's an ambassador of Christ? Raise your hand if you're an ambassador. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody may realize that, but we're ambassadors. The world may not recognize that, but God recognizes it. Now, here's the interesting thing. When war is about to break out, or when the conflict, there's great conflict coming where it's dangerous, what does the government do with its ambassador in that land? They take him out quickly. If there is a coming war, or if there's problems, severe problems that are getting worse, the first thing that a nation will do is remove its ambassador as soon as they can. They will take them out quickly. You are what? Jesus is going to return for his church, and in the twinkling of an eye, in 1/32nd of a second, the Lord is going to catch up his saints. He's going to take them out that quick. I think that's quite amazing. Time is getting short. Time is coming, is flying by. The time of the Lord's return is what I'm trying to say is almost upon us. Now, in what I'm saying, I feel a spiritual battle against me trying to stop me from speaking this. But I will not stop. Amen. I'm going to take this bull by the horns and throw that, wrestle that baby down. Why? Because I'm a man. That's the way it is. Isn't that right? You know, yeah, men are men. Women are women. My wife is the most loving, caring, sensitive person. Being around her, I have to answer altar calls all day long. It's horrible. She's gracious. She sees the best in people. She's redemptive. I've never known anyone like her. And she's just the kind of person I need to be around. But you put this Filipino woman and you put this English man together, and you've got something powerful. Because you have love and grace and redemptiveness with a firmness of decision. With boundaries. And if an Englishman says, we're going to do this, we do it. We're Christ's ambassadors. People lashed out at Jesus. He didn't give up on them. He prayed for them. And you know, something else had happened to me. Because I felt such great hurt from the things that this young man had said and from the things that he did. And now I'm on the last portion of my, either the Lord comes back soon or I'm going to meet the Lord. It ain't going to be that much longer. You know, 20, 30 years at the most, probably. And good grief, 30 years from now, I'll be 97. 96. Whatever. You know, we've been back in this country for 15 years. It's gone by just like that. I just believe the rapture's going to happen. I really believe that. But as I began to pray for him, as I began to lay hold of God for him, as I began to release him from my personal judgment and say, Lord, have your way with this young man. Help him. Deliver him. Heal his wounds. Use him in the kingdom. Something began to happen to me. Remember this morning we started out talking about the tree of life, that it bears fruit every month, and its leaves are for healing? That when you obey the word of God, it sets you free. It changes you. It transforms you. It brings you under the blessing of God, under God's protection, under His blessing. When you start to act righteously, the leaves begin to bring healing to those wounds. Are you hearing me? If you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. You will suffer. But it's what we do with those suffering, what we do with the opposition, what we do with the accusation, what we do with the rejection. How do you handle that? Do you get angry? Do you get mad? Do you quit? No. We're going to lay hold of God. And as we do what's right, those healing leaves of the tree of life bring healing to us until even the scars of what we endured in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, in our imagination, are removed. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
An alarm went off beginning of this year. A smoke alarm, a fire alarm. God said, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to have the wisdom of the kingdom of God. It's time to understand that we're His ambassadors. It's time to understand that every one of us have destiny. And that when we collide with people or people collide with us, that the kingdom of God is touching their life. That no matter how they react. Look at Paul and Silas. They went out preaching the gospel. This person gets healed. And they get beaten and thrown into a jail, into an inner jail, into the bottom jail where the rats are, where there's no windows, it stinks, it's smelly, it's stale, it's damp, it's nasty. They're in chains. But what do? They begin to praise God. They begin to give Him the glory and the honor. They begin to sing songs of praise. See, when we come, we begin to make intercession for these people. We can do so with joy in our hearts, thanking God that He hears us, thanking God that He loves us. And then what begins to happen? Healing comes to us. And what happened to Paul and Silas? The chains fell off their hands that the enemy put on them unlawfully. The prison doors were open. You know, the enemy will put you into a prison if you're not careful. Or he'll set you up to be put into a prison. You know, when we don't forgive people, God will put us into a prison until we repent and do what's right and forgive. And when that happens, you feel good. You feel released. Ah, you were set free from the king's prison. So irregardless, I don't know which prison it is. It's one or the other. But God will set you free. You will see a miracle. You will see miracles start taking place. See, people say, oh, well, don't you want to have a church of thousands of people? You know what I want? I want to be what God wants me to be. That's what I want. I just want to be what God wants me to be. I want to, with all my heart, I want to fulfill His destiny that He has for me. And I want to help other people do the same. I want the Lord to wake me up in areas I've been asleep in so I can help. The Lord can use me to wake up others. I want Him to give me revelation to blow away all the darkness, that I'll have truth in my life, that I can share that truth with others so that that darkness will be gone and something will be released. Because I know when it's released within them, they're going to share that with others. And before long, very quickly, everybody will be talking about this. I think it's exciting. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Oh, yes. Make a list. Well, ask the Lord. You show me, Lord. Who do you want me to pray for? It'll start with a person that's close to you or a person that's hurt you. Or a person that's away from the Lord. Or a person that maybe needs to get saved. We've had all these here snowstorms in Portland. Portland's become an ungodly place. Dear God in heaven. We've had all this snow. And I get away from it, come up here, and what happens? Snows. It's kind of like the smoke alarm. I thought, oh my God, we're going to Kirkland tomorrow. Now they said it's snowing there. So I said, Lord, what are you saying? And then I remembered. There's a man that we knew quite well. We've lost touch with him. What was his name, Christy, from San Francisco? Richard Gazulski, yeah. He's written a number of books. The Prophetic Whisper was one of them. He's head of a large church in San Francisco. Took on the Church of Satan and defeated them. And the guy who was the satanic high priest died. A great guy. And he was telling me, and it's in one of his books, but one day he was flying over these mountains and he looked down and he saw snow up in the mountains. You know, the snow in the mountains stays there forever, doesn't it, pretty much? And he was looking, he said, the Lord said, do you know what that is? And he said, no. He said, it's snow. He said, no, it's the He said, it represents the prayers of the saints that have gone on to be with me. And he began to share with me how the Lord began to speak to him that when we pray, it's like our prayers are taken up to heaven. And when the rain comes, it's like God answering our prayer. But sometimes that rain turns to snow. And then sometimes it hits on the high places like mountains and it stays up there. Because he said, I have caused my people to pray and intercede, and even years gone by, for the very years that we're coming into now. That we will have help from those before us. And isn't it amazing that the snow on the mountains is now melting? Glaciers are melting. Antarctica recently had a 30-foot, there's a crack. They had to take away the British team from Antarctica because a 30-foot, the ice opened up 30 feet wide. A big crack came. What's happening? Well, it seems like a lot of this stuff is melting right now. But it's prophetic. This snow says to me, it's time to pray. I haven't forgot about you. I haven't forgot about this land. And it's snowing from heaven. And that snow is going to melt. And so as we pray, I want to tell you it's covered with the prayers of the saints who have gone before us. And God's going to do a work in us and in the people of this land. And I tell you, we need to pray for this administration. We need to pray for Donald Trump. We need to pray for his wife. We need to pray for his family, for his kids, his grandchildren. We need to pray for his administration. We need to pray for Mike Pence and his wife and family. We need to pray for his administration. We need to bind the spirit of evil in this place. We need to bind evil and cast it out. That the Lord will raise up a people unto himself. And wouldn't it be funny if all of a sudden there's a great move of God. The Lord returns in the midst of that. We're taken up to be the Lord in heaven. And there's a vacuum for the righteous. Although now these two prophets are preaching, and a man rises up who seems to be like the Messiah, who says what we've been saying but isn't living it, and the people begin to remember and they begin to follow him. Although I'm sure many others, of course, will turn to the Lord, especially the Jews, and the Jews will preach the gospel basically all over the world. Are you hearing what we're trying to say tonight? You know, it's a strange thing. My mind's... When I used to go to China and I used to speak, you couldn't have a sermon. I had an interpreter, but we used to just pray, lay hold of God. And then when the anointing would come, I would speak. And I would speak under that anointing until the anointing left. When the anointing left, my mind went blank. I feel like I had a message from heaven for you guys. About the word of God, about the river of life, about the tree of life, about Ra, evil, and Shalom, peace, what it really is, about come, Lord Jesus, come, about being raised up to be the people that God intends us to be, knowing that no matter where we're at, God's going to use it to God, to good if we lay hold of Him and take these things, that your children won't be lost, people who've fallen away won't be lost, the people who come against us, God will still use them. And now I've shared these things, the best of my ability, my mind's gone blank. Well, that's a miracle. It's 8:30. Normally it takes me an hour to say who I am, my name. But I'm hoping you can grasp and hear what I've been sharing. And take it and apply it to your life. The Messiah is coming soon. He's coming soon. We need to pray for His coming. And the Bible tells me when we're looking for His coming, there's a special blessing for those who are looking for His appearance. A special reward. And you people are a bunch of folks that are looking for His soon return. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you're saved. Just lift it up. You know Jesus. You're living for God right now. You're doing good. Well, maybe there's somebody here who doesn't know the Lord. Now, I forgot to look around and see who didn't raise their hand. Dang. It doesn't matter. But I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, it's not too late. Heaven is a wonderful place. And you can have heaven now in your heart and in your life. And the Lord speaking to me many years ago and saying, Chris, you want to be in the light or in darkness? You want to be in evil or you want to be in good? And I said, I want to be in the light. I want to be in good. I don't want to be in evil. I've been in here long enough. You want to be in deception or you want to be in truth? I said, I want to be in truth. Do you want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven? I said, I want to go to heaven. He said, if that's how you really feel, then you need to receive me as your Lord and Savior. Surrender your life to me and begin to live for me. And begin to know me by reading the Word and coming together with other believers that will strengthen you and that you can strengthen as well. That you'll receive encouragement from your pastor and your pastor will encourage you. In fact, let's just bow our heads. If there's anybody here who's not right with God, you've never received Him as Savior, or perhaps you don't really know Him, you believe but you've never really accepted Him, or you've fallen away, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. If you're here tonight, I have to give you the opportunity. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Just slip your hand up and hold it above your head. If there's anyone here at all, as I look around this room one last time, this is your opportunity. If you're here, raise it now. Amen. Raise it now. Okay. All right, let's just stand to our feet, shall we? And let's just take time. Just let's take a few minutes. What time? Am I okay for time?
Yeah.
Okay. Pardon me? Yes. And what I want us to do... I'm falling apart. I must have got a little bit, you know... Tried not to, but didn't do any good. But let's just take time to worship the Lord. And let's ask the Lord to seal these things to our lives tonight. That He'll seal the things from, if you were here yesterday and this morning, seal those things, or just this morning, or just tonight. That God will seal those things to our life. That not only will He seal them, but they'll become part of us. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And let's just worship the Lord just for a few minutes in closing. And have some worship songs here. And let's just seal these things. And receive healing as well. And think about those you need to pray for. Or ask the Lord to give you people. Or if anybody collides with you, start laying hold of God on their behalf. Love them. Love them back into the kingdom with action. There's bits and pieces flying all over the place, thanks. You know, who knows? I didn't know it was even in there. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? Just lift your hands, just for a minute, let's just worship the Lord. And as our sister begins to play, Shando Bosi, in the Spirit of God, just pray in the Holy Ghost in English. Just begin, give the Lord thanks. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I thank you for this people that are here. I thank you for the love that they've shown me and my wife, for the welcome they have given to us, for making us feel accepted and loved. And Lord, I just ask that you will love them and put your arms around each and every person here and just love on them. Just love them. And let them feel welcome, be welcome. Seal these things. Help us to be your people in these days and this hour. That when you return, that we will be taken up in a blaze of glory. That the church won't go out defeated, but it'll go out as overcomers. In complete victory. Full of your grace, knowing that you are the God of grace and that your grace has given us the victory. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Light of the world. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to bow down, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
One more thing you want to do at the end of the song, is that okay?
Yeah. Take your time. How much it cost to see my sin upon that cross, I'll never know. How much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
Don't we serve a good God? I just want to thank you guys one more time for just accepting my wife and I, making us feel so welcome since we've been here. You've been very, very gracious to us, very loving, very kind. And you have no idea how much we appreciate that. It's really a joy to be here. It's really a joy to come. It's a joy just to be here with you. One of the things that I wanted to do before I close, some time ago the Lord began to lay it on my heart to pray the rabbinical blessing, thanks Christine, upon the people at the end of the service. And we've been here for three services, and with your permission, I'd like to pray the God's blessing upon you. Is that okay? And I have found since we've been doing this, the blessing that's come upon the people has been unbelievable. What God's began to do is incredible. One lady, she started giving, she started tithing, and she told me that she has, her husband doesn't work now. He stays, they have some problem kids, and they're looking after these kids, and he's homeschooling them. They're his grandkids. And they only have one income. You keep playing doing good. But now, since she's been giving, she has more now than she's ever had before. Not only that, she got a huge bonus, and the first thing she did was tithe on it and gave offerings. She says, man, I've learned the blessing of God. After she did that, you know what happened? A company she worked for 7 years ago sent her a check for $17,000 that they found that there was a bonus that she should have had and never had, they weren't aware of, and so they sent it to her 7 years later. You ever heard of anything like that happening? There's power in these words. There's power in the words of this blessing. So I'm going to ask that you lift your hands up and you receive this as from the Lord. And I'm going to pray this blessing over you. And the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will keep you. The Lord will make His face to shine upon you. And He will be gracious to you. The Lord will lift His countenance to you, and He will establish shalom for you. And no good thing will be withheld from you. And He will put His name upon you, on your forehead, and He will bless you. In Jesus' name we receive this blessing, and in Jesus' name we give you all the glory and all the honor. Let's give the Lord a clap offering in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you. Hallelujah. There's power in those words. You receive them or hold on to them because there's power in God's word. You can count on it. We've experienced it, and it's a wonderful thing.